I mean, they were solid. They were solid offense. I mean, I wouldn't say anything scared me that they did or was just something that was tough. I mean, it wasn't. It was a solid offense. I wouldn't just say they're special, and I wouldn't just say that they're a bad offensive core. So, I mean, they're a solid offense to go against.
We're back live with more Rami McLaugh on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Holmes after the loss to the Packers back in November. I am Rami McLaugh with you for about another 45 minutes, taking you right up to DePaul basketball. They take on UConn today. Pre-game coming your way at 12:45. Maybe some time to squeeze in some more of your calls. Always welcome your text at 312-644-6767. And I am live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Joining me now to give us a view from the other side of Packers and Bears on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. He hosts Wisconsin Sports Daily Monday through Friday on The Fan up in Milwaukee. My pleasure to welcome in my good friend, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Sparky, how are you this New Year's Day, my friend? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rami.
You heard Jalen Johnson there. He said that the Packers are solid, but not special. He was specifically talking about that offense and what he saw the first time. And it was after a loss. Like, that was a dude who was talking pretty big after a loss. Sparky, are the Packers solid, special, somewhere in between? What are the Bears looking at this Sunday?
Dude, they've lost 10 in a row. Who cares what any of their players think about anybody else in the NFL at this point? They should focus on winning a football game to end the season. When you lose 10 straight, your opinions don't mean much to me at this point.
What about your opinion, though? Are they solid, special, or somewhere in between?
No, I mean, I don't think they're playing as well, maybe necessarily, as they did at the second half of last year, but this is a much different offense than maybe what this rest of the NFL has seen. You know, Josh Jacobs coming over in free agency in the offseason was a big deal for the Packers because they let go of a guy that Packer fans and Packer teammates loved to death, Aaron Jones, who ended up going to Minnesota. He's had a nice year there. But when Jacobs came in at the beginning of the year, I think they were still trying to play like they were in the second half of last year. And then, of course, Jordan Love gets hurt in that first game of the season in Brazil against Philadelphia. Again, they lost, and then he missed a couple of games. And the Packers had made a move earlier for Malik Willis from Tennessee. Malik Willis comes in, and they really, really focus on running the football and doing different things with the quarterback. And then when Jordan Love came back, they kind of tried to get back to that point again. And as the offense has progressed throughout the season, it really has become an offense built around the running of the football of Josh Jacobs at this point. And to me, it's taken some pressure off of Jordan Love to a certain degree. You know, he was turning over the ball every single game seemingly up until the bye week. And since the bye week, he hasn't turned over the ball one time. So that has been fixed. Now, the big deal in Wisconsin and in the Milwaukee area, people are questioning if he's being aggressive enough now, because now he's making sure he doesn't turn over the ball, but now maybe the big plays aren't coming as much because he's not taking as many chances. So, you know, it's kind of that wishy-washy state of, you know, what do you want and what are you willing to settle for if he does have the turnovers. But to this point, this Packers team has played pretty well. Yeah, they've lost to, you know, the Vikings and Lions twice each, so clearly the Packers are not at that level. It's probably, you know, Detroit, Minnesota, Philly, that first tier of teams in the NFC, and there's probably a small gap, and then there's probably the Green Bay Packers fourth. Now, can they win those games in the playoffs? I think they can, but they've got to play close to mistake-free football, and I think if you're Detroit, Minnesota, and Philly, you probably don't have to play necessarily mistake-free football to beat the Packers, so there is definitely a difference right now.
Talking with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer of The Fan up in Milwaukee here on The Score, Rami McLaugh with you on New Year's Day. And I did want to ask you about Jordan Love and just what the Bears are looking at Sunday, but you brought up Josh Jacobs. And to start the show, Sparky, I was doing like a what if exercise when it comes to the Bears and guys who they could have gotten their building and they decided to go in a different direction. Josh Jacobs, not a name I brought up, not a name that any of the listeners brought up, but I and this isn't, you know, 2020 hindsight. This is during the offseason, I said, get me Saquon Barkley in a Bears uniform. But if you can't do that, go get Josh Jacobs. I worked out on the West Coast for a while. I saw a lot of Josh Jacobs week in and week out when he was with the Raiders. And I was impressed, man. That dude is a horse. He's a stud at the running back position and a guy who defenses have to game plan for. Is that his offense now, or is it still the Jordan Love passing offense? What is their identity?
No, their identity is running the football and being physical up front. That's what they want to do. And then obviously, you know, once you have to deal with that, that opens up the rest of the game for Jordan Love and his wide receivers. The issue that happened or that has happened when they've played Minnesota and Detroit three of the four times are, for whatever the reason, the play caller, Matt LaFleur, the head coach, has gone away from what's worked against the rest of the league in both Lions losses. And then in this last game against Minnesota, they stopped using the wide receivers and handing the ball off to wide receivers on jet sweeps and other things and stopped being as creative as they had been in every other game. I mean, the previous week against the Saints, nine different Packer players accounted for at least one rush in the box score. Nine. I couldn't tell you the last time they had nine, but I do know this. Pretty much every week, a Jaden Reed, a Christian Watson, now he was out this last week, but a Jaden Reed, a Christian Watson, a Bo Melton, whoever it may be, is getting handoffs from Jordan Love going back the other way, and it's worked all year. But for whatever the reason, in these other division games against the Lions and Vikings, Matt LaFleur has completely gone away from it. It almost felt like this last week. It was a very vanilla game plan in that game against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not sure why in the heck you would do that. Maybe it's because, you know, it's really loud in there, so forth, snap count issues, and they wanted to be as conservative as possible, make sure they didn't screw up anything there. Maybe that was part of it. Not quite sure. But, you know, as we sit right now, yeah, it's definitely Josh Jacobs' offense, and then Jordan Love kind of plays off of that.
Jordan Love had that crazy second half last year and then gets the crazy money in the offseason. And I think because of that, a lot of people wanted to put him right there in the elite franchise quarterback category. And I was telling folks, I fill in for Sparky every once in a while on The Fan up in Milwaukee on his show. And I told folks, like, you got a good quarterback. I'm not saying you don't have a good quarterback, but don't try and put him in that class just yet. Maybe in two or three years now, but folks got to remember, this is his second year as a starter in the league. Have people re-gauged where they're at with Jordan Love, at least at this point in his career?
Well, there are people that didn't want Jordan Love after Aaron Rodgers. So those people that didn't want Jordan Love then still don't want Jordan Love now. That has not changed. When the Packers win, they're quiet on social media. When the Packers lose, they're very active on social media, obviously. So that is what it is. I think the reason why everybody wanted to put him in that elite category was because of how well he played in the second half of last year. He looked like he was going to be a dominant type player in the National Football League. Now, has he looked that way this year? No. In the first half of this year, he had multiple injuries, missed games, played through stuff, and really hasn't fully gotten healthy until after the bye week this year. And then since then, like I said, he hasn't had any turnovers. He doesn't use his legs a ton, right? He's not like a Jaden Daniels that's going to get out and run. And that's one thing that was brought up on ESPN earlier this week, which is they need to get him to run more. You know, when these DBs are turning their backs on him and chasing wide receivers, and if there's a lane for him to run on second and 12 or second and 15 to pick up 7 or 8 yards, instead of patting the ball forever, maybe he should take off and run upfield and just take those yards, because to this point, there's been no threat of Jordan Love going anywhere at any point running the football. So maybe we'll see more of that when we get to the playoffs. But as you go into the playoffs this year, you know, seven quarterbacks? Where is Jordan Love as far as the guys that are playing the best right now? He's probably somewhere around six, maybe, you know, five or six somewhere in the NFC as far as guys that you would want, you know, leading your team going into the playoffs. Obviously, Sam Darnold and Jared Goff both have been playing really, really well at this point. Jaden Daniels has been playing out of his mind, especially in close game situations at the end of games. So he's got to be in that conversation. Matthew Stafford has a ring. I know the Rams haven't been playing as well, but it's still a guy that's won a championship and has won a lot of football games. So he has to be dealt with too at some point. Jalen Hurts, you know, again, you know, he's battling through a bunch of stuff over there physically. So we'll see what he looks like. But he's shown that he's got a lot of weapons around him. There's not a ton of pressure on him. We've got Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown and those type of weapons around him. You look at the Green Bay Packers. Yes, they have Josh Jacobs. And then they have a bunch of good receivers. But as been talked about numerous times, they don't have that Justin Jefferson, that Ja'Marr Chase. They don't have that guy. Now, maybe that guy will develop eventually, but so far this year, that guy has not developed as of yet.
Talking Bears and Packers with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer of The Fan up in Milwaukee here on The Score. Rami Makhlouf with you on New Year's Day. When it comes to this game on Sunday, Sparky. The Packers, they're looking to get the sixth seed and avoid going to Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs. They need to beat the Bears Sunday at Lambeau Field and then have the Cowboys beat the Commanders to get that sixth seed. Unless or otherwise, they'll end up 7 and like I said, visiting Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs. Is that all they need as far as motivation? Is anybody even talking Bears and Packers this week and the rivalry and how much they like beating them? Or does that even matter with, like you said, the Bears being a team that's lost 10 games in a row? Does anybody even look this way?
No, I don't think anybody's worried about this game. I think, you know, the conversation is, look, if you get up by enough, you know, can you rest your starters in the second half? Can you rest your starters for the fourth quarter? You know, sooner you can get the starters off the field, the better. Because like you said, they do still have to win the game. It's not like they don't have anything to play for. You know, Nick Sirianni came out today and said he's pretty much resting all of his Philly guys, including Saquon Barkley, so he's not going to get the rushing title. And, I mean, if we're talking realistically here, even if he would have had it with 17 games, I don't think that would have been the same as Eric Dickerson with 16. But that's another topic for another day. So I think you would like to get your starters out quickly if you can get a big lead on the Bears. And then go from there. But I was talking about on my show yesterday, which is you're going to get one of two Bears teams here, right? You're going to get the team that's come out, quit, mailed it in, ready to go on vacation, and the Packers are going to pummel them, similar to what happened to the Jets last week. Or you're going to have a Bears team that's going to come in here and think it's the damn Super Bowl and try and take guys' heads off and do whatever they have to try and end this losing streak and go out into the, you know, the offseason with at least a win and get Bears fans off their backs a little bit because they upset the Packers in the last game of the year and so forth and maybe carry some positive momentum. That team that I'm talking about here playing for a Super Bowl could be a threat to the Green Bay Packers for sure on Sunday, especially if the Packers come in thinking they're just going to roll over this team, which they shouldn't because that last game came on a field goal block. That last game wasn't a Packers win by 24 points.
Sparky, I did want to talk to you about the division a little bit before I let you go. And you know I'm a big fan of Matt LaFleur. Always have been. And I asked you earlier whose offense is this? It's Matt LaFleur's offense. And he's gonna find the best way to use the pieces that he has and execute out there on the field as an offense. And I love that about him. But also, and this is one of the things that's most daunting about where the Bears are at right now, and obviously the Packers not there. They're going to the playoffs and they've won football games in the last 10 weeks. But one of the things that's so daunting is not only like this team has to get better and got to get where we all want them to go, but then you look up at the rest of the division and you got Green Bay and Minnesota and Detroit. Are Packers fans doing the same thing with those two teams in Minnesota and Detroit and going, this is good, but man, we got to get past those two just to even think about doing anything?
Well, I think everybody thinks you have to get past Minnesota and Detroit in the NFC right now. I don't think it's just a Packers thing. I think that's a Philadelphia Eagles thing too. I think they're concerned about it. I think if you're the Rams or Tampa Bay or Atlanta or Washington, whoever's in the playoffs, Minnesota and Detroit are the two best teams in the NFC. And the way the playoffs are set up, one of those teams, whoever loses on Sunday night, is going to end up on the road as a wild card team, which, again, will lead to playoff format change, I'm sure, at some point, like has been talked about in the NBA forever. I don't think it's just a Packers thing. Now, again, long term, if that's what you're talking.
Yes, I mean, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Sure.
It's like the landscape for the next few years.
Yeah, if you think Sam Darnold's going to be this for the next 5 years, then by all means, I'm not buying into Sam Darnold. But if you'd like to buy into Sam Darnold as more than the one-year wonder, that's cool. They're going to be in a situation where they're going to either have to franchise tag him or sign him to a couple-year deal. As they just drafted J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan and he got hurt. Nobody thought Sam Darnold would be starting all year. Most thought J.J. McCarthy would have that job by week four or week five. But clearly, you see some of these locker room celebrations, like the one against Green Bay last weekend that McCarthy shot and put on, I think it was Instagram or Twitter or something. And you see Kevin O'Connell kind of just shaking his head and smiling as Sam Darnold is up on the shoulders of one of the players and they're all dancing, going crazy in the locker room like they won a Super Bowl. I don't know if Kevin O'Connell even believe that they would be here at this point with him as the quarterback to see his resurrection. Jared Goff and the Lions, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be tough the next couple of years. I'm not going to even try and argue that point. But the Vikings, am I buying into the Vikings and Darnold being that guy long term? I'm not. Is O'Connell a great coach? Absolutely. No question. He is a great play caller, a great coach. Campbell, He's a great leader of men. He's a great head coach. No discussion there. As far as Matt LaFleur and the Packers go, like, he's had his problems with these big games, man. He has. He's struggled against Kyle Shanahan over his career when they had Aaron Rodgers and they had to play San Francisco. That was a problem. He's 2-4 now, I believe, against Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings. That's a problem. And that's going to be the one thing that people are going to talk about up here as they get into the postseason. Because, again, everybody just expects the Packers to be in the playoffs every year. That's not a thing. The thing is, you know, can you ever get back to another Super Bowl? You got the two Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers. Well, three, technically. You lost one with Brett. But three Super Bowls. You have two Super Bowl championships in, what, 25, 30 years. So nobody gets excited anymore like they used to for just making the playoffs. It's expected. Now it's how do you win the big games to get you back to the Super Bowl? And is this coach capable of doing that? And right now that coach has a huge out, which is you're the youngest team in the NFL for the second straight year. So as long as that stays in place, you're always going to have that excuse and that out to get you out of that conversation.
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer of The Fan, my guest for just a couple more minutes here on The Score. I want to take a trip down memory lane with you, Sparky, and just a little context, background for folks listening right now. Sparky and I, good friends. He was my longtime co-host in Milwaukee, and before that, I was his producer, and I was his producer when the Bears traded for Jay Cutler. And I remember Sparky walking out of the on-air studio and walking into the little broom closet of a producer studio that we had at the time and looking at me and going, how does it feel to have the best quarterback in the division? And I laughed and I went, oh, Sparky, I'm not counting any chickens before they hatch. I've seen this team break quarterbacks my whole life. And since then, we watched them break Jay Cutler. We watched them break Justin Fields. We watched them break Mitch Trubisky. And now they're trying to break Caleb Williams. Sparky, did you think the Bears had anything cooking when they drafted Caleb Williams? Where you're like, oh, that might be something to deal with or to contend with here over the next few years? Or did you finally heed my advice and not really believing in what the Bears are doing, especially at the quarterback position?
I mean, in fairness, you are right. I did say that about Cutler.
Yes.
And Cutler, again, was a guy that gave games away by turning the ball over, right?
Yes.
So that obviously, that wasn't a coaching thing. That was a Jay thing. Yeah, I tend to agree with you on Trubisky and Justin Fields probably to a certain degree, but it's not like Trubisky went and won a bunch of games afterwards. Fields looked better in Pittsburgh to a degree, but eventually lost that starting job. So as of right now, nobody's went on to do great things once they got away from Chicago coaching from a quarterback position. Yeah, I think everybody thought they would be better this year. I think everybody thought that the Bears would win 8 or 9 games with Caleb Williams at quarterback because, again, you gave him weapons. You gave him Keenan Allen. You gave him DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, Komet, who they didn't use nearly enough, at tight end. And then your head coach, Eberflus, was a defensive coordinator and a good one. So you figured the defense would still be pretty good. And that's what you thought was going to happen. And I remember doing my afternoon show with Charlie Usen, my producer, who, you know, we call him Chicago Charlie. Mm-hmm. His dad grew up in Wrigleyville. Charlie's lived in Brookfield, Wisconsin his whole life, but was brainwashed by his dad to root for Chicago teams. So it's essentially, you know, dealing with a Chicago fan every day. And when they got through the first half of the season and we were looking at the second half of the schedule, and I said, okay, well, now we're going to find out how legit this team really is. We'll see. You know, if they only win 2 games here, then obviously that was all for naught. I did not see them losing 10 straight games, and I wasn't being the most positive going into this. I don't know necessarily what you do. I heard CM Punk, the wrestler, say, you know, the only way this is going to get fixed is if the McCaskies sell the team.
Yes.
And everybody kind of laughed, but you know me. And back when the Milwaukee Bucks were owned by Herb Cole, I was not a fan, and I wanted Herb to sell the team in the worst way, and I said pretty much the exact same thing. This is never changing until he sells his team. They sold the team. Now, again, they fell into Giannis's work ethic, and Giannis went. So coincidence, whatever. But once he sold the team, that's when they kind of took off and were able to get to that championship. If Herb Cole was still with the Bucks, they would not be in the repeater tax right now, I promise you. And we may not be spending all the money that this current ownership group is trying to win for the Milwaukee Bucks and the fan base. So I think ownership is a big, big deal. And you can look at the Jets, Woody Johnson, now this teenage kid, Brick Johnson or whatever, apparently mm-hmm. has some say. So ownership is everything. But Having said all of that, I really like Kevin Warren. I think he's good. I think he is going to be the right guy to put in charge. Ryan Poles, I don't know, man. Like I find it hard to justify keeping Ryan Poles if you're deciding to kind of change culture. And that's what I think has to happen. You have to change the culture. Now, for me, I'm a fan of bringing the old guy in, Pete Carroll. As soon as that guy walks in, positivity enters the room. Sunshine starts beaming in to the facility, and he will not let negativity hang around anywhere he is. That's what they need. They need a culture change. We can talk about play callers and Caleb and all this other stuff. There is an odor just emanating from that building and from that organization that needs to be completely gotten rid of. And Pete Carroll is a guy that can do it from day one and change a culture. That's what they need.
I agree with you when it comes to the McCaskies. I think most of the people hearing you right now probably agree with you. I'm not so sure about Pete Carroll, but we can talk about that another day, another time, on the air or off. That is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of Wisconsin Sports Daily on The Fan.
Wait.
Up in Milwaukee.
Wait.
What?
I saw your tweet. You said we were going to talk about the Cubs and the trader. We're not talking about
you.
The trader?
Not with you. Not you
I
specifically.
I got to talk about the trader.
No,
the
I just meant in the time.
Year.
No. I just meant in the time that I'm on the air, I might get to some Cubs. And I might do that coming up next. I'm also going to talk about your buddy Brett Bielema coming up next. You see what
he's
up
to? Hold on. I'll talk about him. I'll hold on. I could have co-hosted the show. I know you're talking about Brett.
You don't got to do that. Go enjoy your New Year's. You got lots of kids. You got things to do, man. Go do your thing and check them out at Sparky Radio on Twitter. I always appreciate you, my man. Have a happy New Year.
Hey, Brett, if you're listening, hi, missed you.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Sparky and Brett Bielema had some issues when Brett was at Wisconsin. Like some real issues. But that's for another day and another time. Brett Bielema's not making fans anywhere he goes. You'll hear that coming up next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Final few minutes here, taking you right up to DePaul and UConn right here on these airwaves. I'll be back tomorrow, by the way, and Friday in the evening time slot, 6 to 9. Talking more Bears, more Cubs with you. Well, that's if the Cubs do anything. And this is a drum I have pounded and will continue to pound throughout the offseason until they do something to prove me wrong. This is an embarrassing offseason for the Chicago Cubs. And I know they traded for Kyle Tucker. They've cut salary. They've cut salary and honestly might have nothing to show for that Kyle Tucker trade a year from now if this is how they're going to operate and that this is how they're going to do business. Dude, Corbin Burnes signed with the Diamondbacks? The Diamondbacks. He gets a six-year deal worth $210 million that offers the pitcher a chance to opt out after 2 years. The Diamondbacks? I've defended the Cubs and the Ricketts when it comes to their spending and the way that they've approached this team here over the last few years until now. You get outbid by the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, fine. Those are huge market clubs with bigger TV deals, with billionaire owners or ownership groups that just have a lot more money to spend than you. So you get outbid by them, fine. The Diamondbacks got Corbin Burnes. The Cubs are the number three market in the country. You know where Arizona lands? 18th. And they're more active in the free agent market and getting top flight free agents than the Chicago Cubs. You know, Arizona was part of that whole Bally Sports mess last year when they had to declare bankruptcy. That's the type of TV deal they have. Meanwhile, the Cubs have their own network that we were told was going to bring in wheelbarrows of money to spend on the organization. You remember that? Pete Alonso and the Mets are still very far apart. The Astros have moved on from Alex Bregman. I'm hearing the Cubs are interested in Jack Flaherty. What? What? And Corbin Burns is signing with the Diamondbacks? A Cy Young contender. You didn't even put in a call. 6 years, $210 million with a player option after 2 years. Too rich for your blood, Tom Ricketts? Seriously? This has been an embarrassing offseason for that organization. You're not going to trick me with Kyle Tucker. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe while you're sending Cody Bellinger away to save money and then spending that on nothing and watching the Diamondbacks outdo you in signing top-flight free agents. That's embarrassing for a big-time organization. And even if they sign Kyle Tucker next offseason, I want Kyle Tucker and Corbin Burns, or Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman, or Kyle Tucker and another top-flight free agent, a Pete Alonso. They're not even calling on these guys. How do you justify that? Oh, you brought back Sammy Sosa. That was your big offseason acquisition? Was Sammy Sosa back in the fold? I almost just cursed. Tyler, you almost just had to use the dump button right there. And I'm not even kidding. I can't take it. I can't defend it, and I can't wrap my head around it. I do want to end on a light note, though. It is New Year's. You know what I mean? Yesterday in the Cotton Bowl, it was Illinois, the Fighting Illini, taking on South Carolina, and there was a very unusual moment on ESPN. Here it is. Hello? Tyler, do we got that?
Let's just say the helmet ain't hard enough when you got 240-pound legs with momentum hitting you, so I know what that feels like.
That can't feel good.
It doesn't.
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Brett Bielema walked across the field to take care of his injured player and taunted Shane Beamer with the substitution posture the refs do, the matching signal. He did it repeatedly. Beamer could hardly believe it at first.
Wow, Q.
He taunted Shane Beamer, and Beamer had enough and snapped. Shane just turned to me and said, "You saw what he did. You saw what I did see it.
Here's a look at it.
I did see it." He taunted the opposing coach.
Wow. There it is. And then here's what ensued after the taunt with the substitution signal. Shane Beamer was apoplectic here.
I've never seen that in my life, dude. Ever. He did. He taunted the opposing team's head coach. He was out there on the field right by their sideline. And you can go and watch the video. Taunting the opposing team's head coach. Now, there is a little background. Three plays before that, South Carolina signaled a T-bar on a kid. That's the sign that Brett Bielema made to the South Carolina sideline. They signaled a T-bar on a kickoff before running a trick play, attempting a lateral that led to a 25-yard return. There's nothing illegal. They didn't do anything illegal, but it put in a position that I think now the ethic of what a T-bar is got evaporated because our kids stopped. Said, "I've got a lot of respect for him. He's obviously done this for a long time. This is Beamer. But in all my years of coaching, I've never seen that happen. An opposing coach coming over while his player is hurt and basically have something to say to the opposing head coach." I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie. I kind of liked it. And Shane Beamer, dude, you know people, I'm sure we all know people like this, who are funny when they get mad. Like, you can't take him seriously. You can't do anything but laugh. And Brett Bielema was kind of standing on the sideline with a little grin on his face. Shane Beamer is so funny when he's mad. You have to go and see it. Because he's, like, short. He's a little thick around the middle. He's got, like, an Elmer Fudd sort of mannerism to him. So when he's getting upset, It's really one of the funniest things I've seen in college football this year. Go and check out the video if you haven't yet. My thanks to Mark Grody. Covers the Bears for 670 The Score. Check out the Take the North pod. And Steve Sparky Pfeiffer from Wisconsin Sports Daily. Both those guys joining me on the show today. If you missed either one, check out 670thescore.com or that handy-dandy Odyssey app and the Rewind function. Thanks to all of you out there for contributing, listening to the show. Always appreciate you. And Tyler Ferengul, the real MVP, this New Year's morning, getting up and producing all the Score programming, going right into DePaul basketball as they take on UConn coming up next. I'm Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.